mother died in 2002. She had been an antique dealer, among many other things that she did in her life. And we owned, as a function of that, a couple of samplers, schoolgirl samplers. Both of them, I learned later, were from New Jersey. But at any rate, I inherited them when she died. And when I tried to learn about them, I was kind of surprised to learn that they were made at schools. I like a lot of people thought, oh, samplers made at Mother's Knee in front of the fire or something like that, which all of which is just a myth. It's not true. And so being in education, a professor of education, I was really surprised to learn that needlework was such an important part of schoolgirl curriculum, and that that samplers were made in school as assignments by from their teachers. And I was kind of shocked by this because I had even taken a history of education course and not learned that information, which surprised me. As a PhD level educator, it was surprising to learn such a critical lack in my knowledge, so to speak. So I got very, very interested in them. I started researching them. I started talking with people who knew a lot more than I did about them, and it created a passion for samplers and sampler scholarship and research. Into somewhere around 2004, I went to my first needlework conference. I mean, up to that point, I was reading in books and struggling because the examples, the samplers that we could, that were known and that were talked about and discussed in books and other publications, tended to be the same samplers over and over again. So I decided to get familiar with the academic community, the scholarship community. As an academic myself, that's, you know, there's appeal there to learning new things and to pushing the boundaries of knowledge on a new subject, for me, a new subject. And so I went to my first needlework conference, and I can't remember if that was at Colonial Williamsburg or if it was at Winterthur, one of those two. And I started meeting people, and wonderful people who said, oh, you're interested, come, I'll introduce you to other people. So that's when I kind of started getting familiar with the community and started asking questions about the scholarship, the sampler scholarship, and who were the movers and shakers, who were doing the most recent and most useful things. So that started around 2004.
Okay. And other than the two, well, can you tell me more about the two samplers you inherited from New Jersey?
Yes, I can. One is a Quaker motif sampler. And one is a sampler that was done in Huntington County, New Jersey. And there's been now a whole book written about the samplers from Huntington County, Hunterton, I guess it is, Hunterton County, by the Campanellis. And my sampler was included in that book. It's by a known teacher in Reddington, New Jersey. They were not, I mean, they're nice samplers, but what they did was to introduce me to the field. I still have them, I mean, a few hundred more.
Well, that's a good segue, because tell me about your needlepoint, your needlework, I'm sorry, collection. Or do you only really focus on those that are in other collections?
No, I started collecting because I live in Oregon, and there are not a lot of samplers to be seen in Oregon. There are some at the Oregon Historical Society, but most of the other local historical societies do not have them. And that's primarily because Oregon was settled quite late, and at a time when needlework construction and making samplers were on the decline, in America anyway, in the United States. So I started collecting because I needed to feel them, smell them, work with them, learn how to conserve and frame and do things with samplers. So I started collecting for that reason. And then I started getting particular areas of research interest. And so I would start collecting samplers that matched that interest. And then other interests would pop up, like Mexican samplers. And then I'd collect Mexican samplers. Or there's a group of samplers that have a set of motifs that are clearly from the same palette of motifs, which I cannot identify, but I can trace the appearance of these samplers that have these motifs. And so I have a bunch of those. And so and of course, in any of these collection interests, I'm aware of and studying the samplers that are in public and private collections as well.
And so how large would you say your collection is, just roughly?
Roughly 300 samplers.
Okay. And other than the two that you inherited, was there a specific notable sampler from your past that really inspired you in a way that has continued to motivate you?
Ah, interesting question. Yes, as a matter of fact, I actually inherited three, the two that I mentioned. And then later when I was cleaning out the barn on my parents' place, I ran across a box of books, and inside the box of books was also a sampler, a smallish one.
Oh.
But it turns out to have been made by a relative in Rhode Island. And my parents' place where they retired was in Rhode Island because my mother's ancestry is all in Rhode Island. And this was an ancestral home that they took over when they retired. So I found this sampler in the barn and started studying it, and I became fascinated with Quaker schoolgirl samplers in New England, in Rhode Island first, and then expanded to other parts of New England. There is a belief that Quaker samplers have certain kinds of fonts for the text and certain kinds of motifs and certain and that happens to be true in many of the mid-Atlantic schools because they copy the sampler styles from Acworth in England. But that's not true, by and large, for New England Quaker schools. I became quite fascinated with locating Quaker samplers from Rhode Island and studying them, and I'm still doing that. And in fact, I'm curating an exhibition of samplers from Hopkinton, Rhode Island, this spring. I'm going out to Rhode Island in April, end of April, and curating a very small exhibit, but I think we'll have about 12 samplers that were all made in this small town in Rhode Island. And many of them are Quaker samplers. So I'm fascinated with Quaker education. Now I've read everything I can find and then some on Quaker education in New England, which isn't very much, by the way. The most significant book was published in 1928. So you can imagine.
Yes.
It's pretty old and not a lot of recent scholarship. So now I'm working on a book of on Quaker female education, and that includes samplers.